This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Amen. I stood there at the back, and you know what blessed my heart is I look at this congregation, especially the English service this morning. And what blesses my heart is the church will look like this. Generations. Nations, cultures, look around you. And I really sense God is busy doing something unique here. Younger and older, different versions here this morning, but that is the way, that's the God we serve, huh? We're not serving a God of this people, amen? And may the Lord continue to add, and that unites us is not our culture. That unites us is not our language. It's not our skin color. It's not your age group. None of that. Christ unites us. Amen. And when we are at that place, we can look past certain things. Sometimes we look at culture, and sometimes we look at language, and we look at different things, and that stops us from uniting in Christ. So it just blesses my heart. Thank you, worship team, Mark, and you guys, for leading us so well there. We're in the series of Why Me? But it's forming part of a bigger commitment that we're making. So if you haven't been here last week, I'll just quickly explain to you. Forgive me for those of you who are here the second time. Can we hand out? Did you all receive a little card like this? Can you hand them out, ushers, if they haven't received? We gave out some last week, but I'm just quickly going to explain. We have different ones. This is just a different one this morning. This is a little bit on a harder paper. So we are aiming for the next few months to help you to get spiritually fit. Amen. There should be some excitement here as well. Not just running around outside there, but in church as well, making sure that you get fit as well. And it's my job here to be the instructor. I'm your gym instructor this morning. So by the way, if you want to buy some of these gym instructors t-shirts, you can buy them out there. Speak to Raleen. Raleen, just wave there. Okay, and anything that you pay there for this would go to the proceeds would go to our building fund, okay? So that's your gym shirt for the next few months. So buy one so that you can come to church with your gym shirt. Okay, otherwise you can't come to church. No, that's just a joke. We'll stand in the front there and say, well, you can't come in. So no, that's just a joke. Okay. Okay, so we have three levels, depending on where you are currently at. Level one, and I'll explain this to you. If you turn the card around, there's a level one. If you start, we start at attending services. That's the base level where we start. That means you attend service, you listen to the sermon, you go home. And you talk a lot about that. And hopefully it lasts longer than a Monday morning. Okay. By Wednesday, you forgot what the pastor said on Sunday. Hopefully that's not prophetic. Okay. But if you want to go deeper, then we encourage you to become part of a small group. And I want to say, especially with this series and the others as well, we are talking about serving. And a lot of times people do not know who they are, the specific giftings, how God put them together. We wouldn't have the time to do this here in church, but we are going to explain that through various tests and analysis to help you to discover what and who I am. So that will take place in our small groups. So that's just a teaser out there. If you want to know a little bit more about who God made you, please slot into a cell group. There are many. Speak to Raleen here in the front. She will direct you to the right cell group close to you. And then the last one is for self-study. Just forget a moment about the discipleship groups. But if you feel, listen, I want to know more about serving. What does it mean? When you get connected to our cell groups, we feed it through our cell groups. We'll give you some resources that you can study and read on your own time as it pleases you. Okay, and then if you turn that around, you'll see there's place for your name, your cell group leader. And I really encourage that you have an accountability partner, somebody that can check up on you. That gym partner that tell you, oh, I intended to run the 10K, but I'm going to get up early. So we all know what we want to do. And I share that with your accountability partner so that he has the freedom at any time to, how are you doing? Have you been to church? No. No, but we can ask those questions to one another, and that will help us to grow. And then you'll see the rest of that. That is a commitment. So as we follow through with it, we are on point number one. So it's okay. If you missed last Sunday, you can catch up. We have that on the internet as well. All our sermons, the details are down there as well. And hopefully we will see you in a couple of next few weeks as we join together. But we're on the series on the Why Me? And as I explained last week, it's probably some of those questions that it continues to, I want to say, bother me in a way. Why me, Lord? Why did God pick me? And all of us can say that. You're so quiet. Let's do this sound test. 1, 2, 3, amen. Amen. 1, 2, 3, amen. This side. Okay, all awake. Please give me just a few minutes. I'll try and do my best not to make you fall asleep. Okay. So we're on this series on why me, and it's the question that bothers me, that bothered me the first day when God came to me and said, listen, I found you. I want to use you. At that given moment, I was just in such a bad place as well, and you wonder, why me, Lord? Why did you really pick me? And I think all of us should have that in us when we look at ourselves, because you sometimes look at the mess and you look at your life and you just don't have hope, and God says, no, I've got the right address. It is you. You know, and you want to say, God, send them to somebody else. No, it's you. And you all can say that this morning, that God has got a plan for your life, for my life, for all of us here this morning, but it involves decisions that we have to make from that moment on. The moment God finds us, from that moment, He will leave us with decisions. The yes and no's of life. The yes and no's to God. Some time ago, I had to struggle with a no, and that no kept me awake all night. Because you get the yes and you get the no sometimes. And, you know, we all have those moments, but that time that no was a bit tough for me. When somebody says no. You know, you can't take that personally. But that night I was wrestling with the Lord and I said, Lord, this no is tough for me to take this time. And then the Lord started ministering to me. He said, I want you to experience my father heart. But here's the thing which the Lord said then. He said, Yaku, the blessing, you are not blessing me when you say yes. You are getting blessed when you say yes. See, we've got this perception, we're going to do the church a favor, or the pastor or the leader or whosoever. Let me just help them. At least then I do them a favor. And maybe you do me a favor, but and I can think the same. If I stand here this morning, I'm doing some people a favor, hopefully. I don't know. But here's the thing. Actually, when we say yes, we are not blessing somebody else, maybe indirectly, yes, but we are getting blessed more. But here's the thing which I figured out along the line in our journey with Christ in church and all of that. Whenever we are faced with a decision to say yes or no, to make a decision which way to go, the enemy, and there's three voices this morning, it's God's voice, the enemy's voice, and my own voice, that we have to wrestle with at all times. And most of the time, the enemy and my voice will exaggerate something in my life, and that is this thing. What will it cost me? I mean, when you're faced with a yes and no, immediate thing is, oh man, what do I have to stop doing now that I, if I say yes, what will it cost me? And the enemy will always highlight this one. Oh, no, don't do this. You won't be able to do this. It's too much. You're too busy. Man. I mean, we all used that words before. I'm just too busy. No, it costs you too much. And then we look at this, we contemplate, and then we like, no. But I figured out, and when the Lord said this to me, and He allowed me to go back to Scripture and just discover this, is when God calls His disciples, He says, follow me. Come. Follow me. Come. This thing I figured out is that I've not seen in Scripture one case where God calls people and then He promised them, listen, come, I'll give you this. Have you found that in Scripture? Never. God just says, come. But it is as we follow Him that we discover there's a blessing. But it first had to be obedience. But nowadays, I mean, we even preach like that. You come to Jesus. Come and He'll fix the car, He'll fix the house, He'll give you that. But Jesus never enticed sinners with His blessing. He wanted people to obey Him first, and then you discover there's actually a blessing in the obedience. I mean, I shared with you about our next generation and the whole thing when the Lord the first time started ministering to me about us moving in this direction of reaching the next generation. And I just had to be honest with God. I said, God, you're asking me something, but my heart is not in. Because I've heard this as well. And I had to be honest with the Lord about myself as well. People say, well, I don't feel like it. My heart is not in this. I agree. We want to serve God with a passionate heart. So I had to say to the Lord, Lord, no. Not no, but God, my heart is not in this. I'll say yes, but then you'll have to take me with my bad heart. Or the heart that is not into this. And the Lord said, yes, I'll do that. And it's the amazing thing. God doesn't wait for your heart. He's giving you the invitation. You don't need to have that perfect heart before he's going to give you the invitation. Just be honest with God. At least just tell him, listen, Lord, the heart is thinking a little bit, but I'll say yes, deal with the heart. Then I figured out this. Our hearts follow our obedience. It's not the other way around. Sometimes we say, I'll obey whenever my heart is in the right place. No, because your heart is probably going to take a while to get to that place. It's obedience first. Come, follow me. So there's five things I want to quickly share this morning. Quickly. Did you hear that? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Saki. You've been in the first service. It was quickly in the first service, eh? Five things I noticed in this blessing. When we say yes to God, that I've discovered along the way, my yes had some surprises in there. Beautiful surprises. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul speaks about, and he's got this comparison. He talks about the gifts, the different gifts that are there. And then he compares that to the body. Okay. Various parts, various gifts. And Paul would explain to the Corinthians there how they should work together so that there's absolute unity. So that the one part doesn't think he's more important. So that the one with a specific gift doesn't stand here, is elevated, and at the cost of others. That together we work together for the sake of the unity and for the sake of the glory of God. That's why no person's gift is inferior this morning. In actual fact, sometimes it's those gifts, think about it in the context of the body, when Paul talks about the body. Often the heart, the kidneys are those invisible parts that is not visible, but are so important. That's why never underestimate what you are doing. That is something small. If you figure out where you are and what God has asked you to do, it's amazing. Then just do it for God. So think in the context of the body for a moment. If Paul compares that to the body, and you are part of that body, and you are part of the body. So let's say, for instance, you are the leg this morning. If you need to get the leg stronger, what do you need to do? Exercise a little bit to get that muscle stronger. So I want to make a statement here. If we say yes to God, we explore, first of all, we just explore what we are, who we are, but then also we develop. A lot of people, they know, kind of, this is my gifting, and then they settle there. But God says you need to continue to walk that journey so that you can explore more, because there's so much of God inside of you, so much of the gifting that God has placed inside of you to take you to where he wants you, that you need to continue walking so that you can discover other gifts that is placed there, but only if you keep on exercising. I had a coffee with Divan about a week ago, and we're just discussing some stuff, just a random coffee on a Friday morning. And in that moment, he said to me, Aku, I'm busy. I've just enrolled in this drum clinic where I just get this guy from outside, and he's just giving us some skills. Now, those of you who know Divan, that's playing the drums, would agree that he's actually doing quite a good job, huh? Very good. Yeah. I said, Divan, why do you do that? He said this to me, because I want to give my best to God. We never arrive. See, we can stop here and say, you know what, I'm doing at least, just be grateful. Or we're going to come here and we say, I'm going to continue polishing that gift. And the more we engage, the longer we walk, the more we explore and we polish that which God has given us. Daryl was sitting here in the first service, and I jokingly said, but some of you who had a knee replacement, the very first thing they will tell you to do is what? exercise. You sit there too long, this is not going to work. And this is the way God has designed us. Think about the body this morning. You're a specific part of the body, and there's a reason why God asks us to keep on walking. The day I stop serving is the day I stop growing. That's worth an amen. That's true. A healthy heart is a serving heart. Do you believe that? I'm going to just do it. Got you there. Our yes to God will lead us to miracles. What I mean with that, John 2, show you something here. John 2, verse 1, and our yes to God will lead us to miracles. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Some of the most powerful scriptures. Think about that. Make that your motto in life. Whatever he says, I will do. Very strong. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from. But there's a part here in the story I'm going to come back to. The servants who had drawn the water knew. The masters of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to them, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." Amazing story. Jesus' first miracle, by the way. So I can imagine you've got 2 crowds here, and I want you to see this. The crowd and the servants. Okay, the waiters, servants. Now, it could have been a scenario where there were a couple of servants who just got saved. Think about this for a moment. Let's go back. Some of them just got saved, and they saw this miracle. I'm tempted to think that some thought, if I knew that, I would have bring a few extra bottles, empty bottles. So just a bit of humor there. But some people probably thought, you've never seen a man that turns water into wine, if I knew that. But anyway, so Jesus, then a scenario, I have to get myself out of this one. Anyway, man, this is the reality. We're in the process. Some people still have thoughts like that. They think, like, I can take a few empties home, or I can, you know what? Anyway, but Jesus is doing a miracle here, water into wine. I mean, we read stories like that, and we just think about that as nothing. But the first miracle. Maria, that was Afrikaans type. Mary says to them, "Just do what he asks you to do." And the Bible says that the crowd didn't know where the wine came from, but the servants knew. See, it seems to me, there were 2 crowds here. It seems to me that the miracle didn't take place through the expectation of the crowd, but rather through the obedience of the servants. So what I see in Scripture, which is interesting, if we could compare this with a card game. Let me just get one of those. Where are they? Here we go. If Jesus was sitting on the other side of the table playing cards with us, he would probably keep a few cards upon his sleeve, waiting for you and me to play that first card. I said, if you say yes, only if you know, there's a miracle waiting for you when you step out in faith. I need you to see this. The servants knew. The servants saw that day something that the crowd didn't see. And I suppose if you want to see a little bit more, just change your seating. Move from the crowd to the servants, and you might see something more of our Father waiting for you. Isn't it a coincidence that so many of our mission teams come back and tell us, We've seen this happening out there. Only because they were willing to go, to lay hands, to go outside that normal territory. And not only miracles, it appears to be that Jesus has got another card up there. When we say yes, it's his presence. What do I mean with that? Different levels of his presence. Our yes will lead us next one day, will lead us to different levels of his presence this morning. And the Lord started speaking to us about pursuing his presence, and everything revolves about this thing in a service, in a cell group, in whatever we do, is that it's about his presence. It's not so much about our singing and preaching and serving. All of that should give glory unto God, but ultimately it's to bring us to that place where it's about God's presence so that we can have an encounter with God. I figured this out along the line. The presence of God can't be put into a box and say and defined, this is what it looks like. I've also figured out it doesn't feel the same always. I've also figured out that he manifests himself in different ways and different times. And till this day, I don't know when to expect this. It still surprises me every single time when he turns up, and I kind of didn't see it coming. Then I saw in Scripture as well that Jesus, the way he related to Zacchaeus wasn't the same he related to the Pharisees. The way he related to them wasn't the same he related to that sinful woman that they wanted to stone. The way he related to the people or communicated to the people in the synagogue were not the same when he communicated to the individuals out there. He revealed himself in different ways of communicating. In other words, their experience of them was limited. When Zacchaeus was up the tree and Jesus came there and said, listen, come down. He experienced some part of the Father's thing. Oh, there's nothing we can do now. I'll just try and stand still. Zacchaeus experienced a limited part of Jesus. Would you agree with me? But the ones that probably saw and experienced the most of Christ were the disciples, because they walked with him all the time. They saw how he related to this man. Then they saw how he related to the rich young ruler. And yesterday it wasn't the same. So now I'm experiencing something different of Christ. Now he's going to the Pharisees and he's having a go at them, and they see a different part of Jesus. That's why that view is not the complete view of Jesus. But they probably had the most holistic perspective of Jesus' experience. And the point I'm trying to make here is, when you're always gonna, your experience of Christ is always gonna be limited to your surrounding, in other words, the people that you hanging with and your seating, then you're going to have a limited experience of Christ and his presence. But in order to change that, you got to get up and do something. And God will lead you from time to time to different people, different needs, different things. In that process, I discover something about the Father. When I serve Saki, for instance, there's going to be a specific thing that's going to happen here that's so unique. And I'll probably experience some part of the Father. Never mind what I'm doing or what I've been called to do and give to Saki, but what God does in return so that I can experience something so that I become more like Jesus. You get that? There's something in this happening that's taking place that's almost like a boomerang. It's coming back at me. I'm doing something, but the Father's doing something in return, because this is just a vessel that he's using to cleanse me, to raise me up, to make me more mature, because I'm giving and it reflects back. But Saki is not the same as Vander. And God might ask me to do something different here, and I experience a different aspect of God. Can you see when we say yes to God, it takes us to new levels of his presence that helps us to mature. But we got to keep on moving. John 13. Turn with me to John 13 this morning. I read this last week with the communion as well. When we say yes to God, we grow quicker through the proximity of other people. We grow quicker through the proximity of other people. In other words, we are not called to serve on our own. We're called to serve in a team. Because God is using others to purify us. I want you to see this, what's happening here. The last moment with his disciples, some of the last moments. And Jesus does something remarkable here. For he knew, verse 11, for he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, and said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Well, let's stop there. Where's in that crowd? There was one man in that crowd. Judas. Judas already betrayed him behind his back. He already conspired. He already planned. He's just waiting for the moment. I think that was one of Judas' last graceful moments of the Father's heart. I mean, listen, Jesus knew this. The scripture says he knew that. At that moment that who was going to betray him. Now, if Jesus was just like us, in that case, and he's the perfect example for us here this morning, we probably would have thought, you're already conspiring again. I'm not going to wash your feet. I know what you've done. I know what you've planned behind me. And you're already setting up this meeting just when we finish, when we go out of those doors, you're going to betray me. You already got your knife out. That's tough, man. That's tough when you know, when God says, serve him, and you know, man, this guy is going to nail me. That's tough to serve in that. But God is using something, and he's trying to show us something here. That it's not about what I feel, but it's about Judas that needs to experience the Father's heart. One more time. And sometimes it's not, when we serve, it's not based upon, do I feel like it? It's what that other person needs right now. And he might be one that you think, you know what? He's gossiping about me. He's got my, and you know, welcome to church. I just want to say, welcome to church. Because we're all broken people, but we've got these expectations upon one another. You should act like this, talk like this, and do this. And then we need to serve one another. I mean, it's a beautiful place for God to purify us. Because God used the brokenness of this world, all of us, amen? Yeah? Our mistakes to expose and to reflect and to set something in motion here. That impurity, to reflect something here, to start up something here so that I can at least deal with something here. You get that? That person's fault or brokenness. Hey, what Judas did was wrong. Okay? And I'm not talking about Judas. I'm looking at Jesus' example. That Jesus still chose to serve Judas, wash his feet, despite the fact that he knew that he's about to do it. And sometimes God is going to ask us to do stuff to people or serve people when you think, no. I mean, come on, if you're long enough, sometimes you feel like, no. And that's the time when God uses that moment to mature us. A part of the Father's heart to still love when Judas is sitting with you at the table. I'm not saying that Judas is here, aren't. Okay, it's just... We were on a mission trip a couple of years ago, and we were up there in the north in Rundu, about 80 kilometers in one of those villages. And that specific mission trip, we were there to extend the water pipe with 4 kilometers. So we had this pipe there, delivered there. We worked, we spoke to the missionary there, so we got the team in there. And we said to the missionary, okay, speak to the village, people of the village. We're going to bring them or help them to extend the water another 4 kilometers closer to their house so that they don't have to walk that far. And then help get them together so that Saturday we will all be there and then they can help us. So guess what happened there? We're all there. We all got our shirts on. Let's go. You see that let's go shirts? You got to get one when you go on mission. We're on this mission. We're going to serve the people of the village. I think it was Mahai village. Anyway. And we're up there. And that Saturday, do you know where the people were? The people of the village. The ones we were. Nice tree. Looking at us. You know what we did? We had the shovel there. Huh? We're going like that. And we're all just serving there. And some start, oh, why are they just sitting there? They're looking at us. You know, and that's wrong. I just want to say that's wrong. That mentality is wrong, but that's not what God wanted to do with us. I mean, he needs to minister to them and speak to them about taking ownership, but that's not the point. God was using their unwillingness to engage and not taking ownership to reflect back in our hearts and asking us the question, so why did you come here? What did you expect? A thank you? Appreciation? Because we all want that, eh? We want to give, and then we're like, oh, please just say thank you at least. Just show a kind of appreciation. If he doesn't show appreciation, we're like, I'm not going to even give him more. You know, I joke about we do with it with finance as well. Oh, I'll give this to the church, but they must do what, if they don't do it, so I'm not going to give again. Huh? We're so attached to our giving, not just finances. And God says, no, listen, leave them alone. That might be wrong. Judas is wrong. Judas was wrong. But Jesus kept on serving him. And that's tough, I think, in ministry sometimes. In church, to keep on serving. But God is purifying our hearts and our intentions for why we do what we do. Because it's unto God. If we serve the person and we expect the appreciation from the person, we will probably get disappointed and offended. Because they didn't say, thank you. But when you say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I couldn't care less if they say thank you. You're looking at me and you say, thumbs up. But you can only do that in the proximity of other people and the brokenness of others. Last one. This is the weather there in faith. Do you hear that? You kind of come and pray, then you hear the raindrops. Now, I honestly believe there's a major breakthrough that took place here this week in our prayer in terms of what we've been praying for. But I'll leave that out to you there to come and check it out. Genesis 24, the last one this morning. Genesis 24. Verse 19. Our serving will lead us to our next destination. Our serving will lead us to our next destination. What do I mean with that? Abram says to his servant, I want you to go and find a wife for my son Isaac. Thank God that you're living in 2020. Amen? Otherwise, your dad has sent the servant to go and find a wife or husband for you. Huh? Amen. There's some of the stuff in the scriptures, like, you know, all want to live in Bible times, but some of the stuff you're like, oh, God, thank you, I had a choice. Huh? Anyway, not arranged marriage, but back then it was the case. But I want you to see what happens here. Let's first read and then explain this to you. Genesis 24, verse 19. And when she had finished giving him a drink, this is now Rebecca. Okay, so Abram sends his servant to go and find a wife for his son Isaac. He gets to the water well, they're serving water there. And then and in the story, I'll pick it up from that verse 19. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied a pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. I want you to see that. Then verse 61, jump to that. Then Rebekah and her maids arose and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So here's the thing. Rebekah's being set up to be tested by God, but she didn't know that. And that's exactly how God would always work. He sets you up for a test, but he doesn't tell you beforehand. You're writing an unexpected test, one that I didn't tell you about. You only know that afterwards. God doesn't tell you because he wants to purify you. So he wouldn't tell you, because if we know it's a test, we will all pretend. Let me give my best now, at least so I can praise God. And the reason God does that, he wants the purity. He wants to see if that's really from the heart, if you do that normally. So she gets to that well, and what she didn't know is that the servant had a specific way of determining how it would be the right one. And he says to the servant, says to God, Lord, I don't know. I've got such a responsibility. My master's asked me to come and find out how would I know. And the test, or how I would know, is that the one that would serve water to the camels also, it will be her. So here comes Rebecca, a servant. I want you to see this. He asked for water. And she says, yes, but because she's a servant, because she's so into this, is part of her being, she doesn't just offer water to the servant. She said, listen, I can also give water to your camels. And she give water to the camels. And she passes the test. And then verse 61 She gets onto that same camel that she watered, and it takes her to her destiny. So here's the point. Sometimes in life, we give water to camels. And you're like, oh, I just give water to camels. No, you don't know. And I was for 7 years in such a situation where I like, God, I'm just, and God says, keep quiet. The camel is taking you to your destination. I know, this is not spiritual, Lord. I want to be in the ministry, God, and I don't know, I just give the water to camels. There's no significance in this, you know. Keep quiet. Because God is busy doing something in that serving. But you got to do what you got to do when God says, water, give them water, give them water, give them water. I want to see if you're faithful. But God, there's no prayer in this. No, just give them water. Sometimes we are so spiritual, you know, and God is so natural. Just learn to work first. I laughed. Quentin told me about his brother, and that's so interesting. When they got into ministry, and I've heard about many such stories, the pastor that they worked with, he allowed them to, or asked them, to do the gardening, clean the toilets, all of that stuff. And the people start complaining, all those guys that want to go in ministry. Oh, no, it's not spiritual. No, we don't want to do this. All this hard work. Well, if you can't work here, you can't work on that side. This is the, huh? Sometimes stuff is so insignificant, and we miss the point. But God says, keep on being faithful. Keep on serving. Keep on doing what you are doing right now. Keep on being involved where you are right now. Because if you do that faithfully, it will take you to your next destination. Amen. When you know that you know you're at that place where God wants you to serve, you know how much we discover about our Father. We discover more about His presence. Because yesterday is not the same as it's today. But you keep on moving. Tomorrow I'm going to discover a miracle or be led to a miracle that I didn't know about. But I had to keep on moving. And eventually, the Father will take us to our next destination if we serve with a pure heart. Let's close our eyes. And I feel to say to some of you while every eye is closed, some of you might have to go back to God. And there might be a few no's along the line. Just have a conversation with Him again. Not putting any guilt on you. I'm just saying sometimes we miss the point. We looked at the cost. And we miss the opportunity where the Father is taking us. While nobody's looking around, I want to ask you, where are you this morning in your relationship with God? Are you at a place of peace? At a place that you know, Jesus, I've surrendered unto you. I'm not just playing a religious game. I'm not just pretending, but I'm living a life that is real this morning. With the ups and downs, but at least I'm real with you, Lord. And I'm honest with myself and I'm honest with you. Not pretending to people. But if you need to get to that place this morning that you know, God, I need to become real in my relationship with you. Not pretending. Just to a place of surrender. Jesus wants you the way you are right now. Don't wait to go and fix some stuff first. That's a lie. Enemy will tell you, just figure that out first. Fix that first. And then he will take you. No. You got to make the decision when God calls you right now. While nobody's looking around, I want you, if that's you, and say, Yaku, pray with me. I need that prayer. Don't you want to raise your hand wherever you are and say, I'm that person this morning. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me right now. Thank you. You can lower your hand. There are a few more that I know. Thank you, Jesus. You know that you know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you this morning that you invite us, Lord, to the table. That you invite us, Lord, even though you don't need us this morning, Lord. Even though you are perfect. Even though you're almighty, Lord. Even though you can choose somebody else, but you still invite us, Lord. You are so worthy, Father. We are so grateful. And Father, it's my prayer for each and every one. We will discover our place at the table. We will discover who we are. we will discover the uniqueness in us, Father, that would bring glory unto you, Lord. Not a platform for human beings to exalt themselves, Lord, but a place to bring glory unto you, Lord, this morning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and move amongst every person in the seats this morning, Lord. Lord, that we wouldn't walk out of this place with just another sign.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.